Today's podcast is brought to you by Every Wednesday, a plan to inspire the people of Portland and support the place we call home. Let's get out of the house and spend some time with each other. Skip Zoom, meet for coffee, take your colleagues out to happy hour. Buying a gift? Ditch the internet and support a local maker by shopping in-store. Head into town every Wednesday and see what's going on at everywednesdaypdx.com.
Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
This week's issue is such a summertime treat. For the cover, certified fresh, arts and culture editor Andy Pruett scoured the city so that she and Ezra Johnson Greeno could eat as many heirloom tomato dishes as possible before the small window of late summer tomato ripeness closes. Andy will join me today to gush all about heirlooms, explain why they're special, describe the many ways to enjoy them, and break down why heritage should maybe replace heirloom as their official title. It's Saturday, September 2nd, and this is episode 139 of The Dive. Andy and I will dish up the maters in just one sec, but first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Lucas Manfield reports that workers at the Joint Office of Homeless Services don't like the idea of returning to their desks. About 15 to 35% of the office's 100 employees are in on any given day, says County Spokeswoman Julie Sullivan Springetti. 50%, she added, are in the office or in the field in person once a week. The joint office is largely an administrative function. It's not a direct service provider. Folks are administering contracts, collecting and crunching data. The number of meetings would be unsustainable if we had to drive, one employee said, and parking downtown is crazy. There are also people who live far away because living close in is expensive. The housing crisis affects us too, another employee responded. Anthony Effinger reports that backers of Oregon's psychedelic mushroom law made big promises when they pitched Measure 109 to voters in 2020. Oregonians would get access to life-changing compounds in a safe, legal setting, and after a two-year startup period, it wouldn't cost taxpayers a dime. However, 2 years have passed, and Oregon's psilocybin services are nowhere near paying their own way. Fee revenue is anemic because too few people are seeking the various licenses. Just 4 manufacturers, 2 testing labs, and 8 service centers have been licensed. All 3 types of entities pay a one-time fee of $500 and then $10,000 a year to operate. Many more facilitators have been approved, 88 in fact, but they only pay $150 up front and then $2,000 annually. So far, Psilocybin Services has raised just over $300,000 in fees. And on the back pages, Rose Wong reviews Northwest Classical Theater Collaborative's staging of Samuel Beckett's Happy Days in an old Victoria's Secret at the Lloyd Center. Hashtag reimagine them all. Now let's talk tomato with Andy Pruett.
This was a special year. I always keep an eye out, but I never go sort of running around like crazy, calling places to see if they have their tomatoes yet. That was pretty special for this particular project. But no, I'm always looking forward to and kind of counting down to August, because it's kind of the magical time of year in Oregon when you've got not only the heirloom tomatoes coming ripe and ready to harvest, you've got corn, and then you've got fresh hot beers, and that's kind of like all together this crazy bountiful harvest that only happens in a few places. You can really easily get like sensory overload with all that's going on in August, but it's like a magical time of year.
I mean not the last few days because the weather's been so like relaxed, but I was just thinking, like, fuck, I hate summer. Like, these last few little weeks of summer, I was thinking, gosh, this little piece of the season sucks. But then I was reading the article and I was like, I'm wrong. I'm so wrong. It's actually like a perfect magical little slice of time that I should not be so shitty towards.
It is. Yeah, you're kind of saying goodbye to summer in a really colorful, flavorful way and easing your way into fall.
How many places did you go to check out different like heirloom tomato dishes?
I personally went to 7. Ezra went to 6. He's still going, actually. I got a text from him on Monday, so this would have been 2 days before the heirloom cover story came out. The text simply read, "Stop the presses," and I freaked out, thinking we had some factual errors in the story or something terribly wrong. No, it was just a picture of yet another heirloom dish that he wanted to try. He was going that night to go eat another heirloom tomato pizza at, I believe it was Pizza Thief. And he wanted to add it to the story. And I said, Ezra, we're just too close to deadline time. We're set. So in all, we ended up with 12. I said I went to 7 and he went to 6. One of the first ones I went to, I found out after I ate there, the tomatoes were locally grown, harvested, and used, but they actually weren't heirloom. So there's a difference there. And oh, I had for sure. to be real careful after that I was only consuming heirlooms to include in the story.
Was there anything that you learned, like some new piece of knowledge about heirloom tomatoes?
Yeah, actually I did. So what makes an heirloom tomato an heirloom are the seeds. I think most folks realize that. These seeds are passed down from generation to generation, and they're saved. The farmers save these seeds from the plants that end up producing the overall best fruit. So they're not bred, they're open pollinated. So that's done by birds and bugs and the wind. Those elements are doing all of the work of pollinating these plants. So essentially there's not really any human intervention. What I learned is that the term heirloom can be a little controversial or bothersome, especially to experts in that field. So this particular OSU professor said he finds the term heirloom to be too vague, and he prefers to call them heritage tomatoes. And that's heritage tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes. I think most tomato nerds would be like, what's the difference? I just want to eat a tomato. I love the flavors. But if you're really into the science of growing, cultivating, and harvesting, you know, you're going to get real nitpicky with these terms. I think that makes sense.
So consider I'm a novice. I don't really know too much about heirloom tomatoes, and I think I like tomatoes. What is, from all of the dishes that you ate, what is the dish that you're going to recommend to me, a quote-unquote novice?
Well, I guess it would depend on what kind of a tomato person you are. If you are like, I want the juices dripping down my chin and hand, I'm eating like basically a raw, sweet, fresh heirloom tomato with maybe nothing but a little bit of salt and pepper sprinkled on it, then I'd probably send you to Lardo. Their tomato watermelon salad was excellent. And you just got huge wedges of those sweet succulent heirlooms. Of mine were wonderful shades. That's the other thing I love about the heirlooms is just how beautiful they are. They were kind of like ombre hued, so they were green that kind of faded to yellow at the tapering of the base, and then that kind of all just mixed in with other produce that they had. Everything from cubes of watermelon to Thai basil to little teeny tiny red onion rings. That would be, if you're the fresh heirloom type of person, I would point you in that direction. If you're a person who prefers sort of like maybe a marinara, you don't want like the texture maybe of a raw tomato, that would be my husband. He hates raw tomatoes, but he loves ketchup and marinara. I'd point you to Emerald Lime and their heirloom tomato tart. They make a whole bunch of different tomato dishes right now at Emerald Lime, but the tart, the way that they cook the tomatoes on there, they're as big as saucers, but they taste like you're eating red sauce that would go on like a wonderful pasta. So you get these rich, savory flavors as opposed to the sweeter, fresh flavors of the tomato and the salad.
So on the other end, say I am like just an absolute tomato aficionado. I'm an expert on heirlooms. What do you recommend to me from that list?
I really enjoyed Seasons and Regions. I think you'd really enjoy your experience, whether you're novice or expert, when it comes to eating heirlooms. They're kind of unique in that they're a restaurant that actually grows their own, and that's due to the fact that the owners have a farm in Estacada. And so for years, they have been cultivating all sorts of heirloom plants, not just tomatoes, but everything from beans to carrots. And you can even pick up your own heirloom starters there from them. Like, you can purchase them directly at the restaurant at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to go to the farm. Yeah, so you can go get your own heirlooms. Ran into a person who said she's been growing her starts from them for years now, and one of the plants is like 8 feet tall. So these are good quality heirlooms. Yeah, and I ate them and everything there, from sort of a more traditional heirloom tomato sandwich. So it was these beautiful sun gold yellow tomatoes coated in a gorgonzola sauce. So the sweetness and the savoriness just really played well together there. And then they also had the heirlooms in a gazpacho, which was just, oh my gosh, tomato soup, like Campbell's tomato soup, comforting, warming flavors, but also just a little tang, a little kick that you would get in a Bloody Mary.
Ooh.
And that was filled with, oh my gosh, I can't even say enough about the gazpacho.
Were there cocktails involved in all of this? I know there was like a tomato teeny that sounded amazing. Were other places doing like heirloom tomato drinks?
The only drink that I found was the tomato teeny, and that was at Emerald Line. That would be another sort of, if you're an expert or snob, I'd point you there as well, because they're just doing so many different dishes. The sheer number kind of blew everyone else away, and they're constantly changing the menu. Like, I'll go back and I'll look at their Instagram feed, and they're doing something else different with tomatoes that wasn't on the menu when I was there. So yeah, they were the only one I found for a drink. It was a beautiful tomato teeny, really simply made. I asked the bartender to make it for me so I could watch it and sort of get the play-by-play, and it's real simple. He took about, I would say, 4 tomatoes. They weren't very large. They were about the size of ping pong balls. And he muddled those in a glass. Then you can add either vodka or gin. I went with the gin. It was cucumber-infused Hendrix. He then added a splash of simple syrup, and then spritzed the chilled glass with a salt spray to really sort of bring out the tomato-iness in the drink. And that's about it. I mean, it's a real simple, beautiful ode to the heirloom, because it tastes like you're eating a tomato. You really don't even taste the alcohol. It was kind of a bright pink color. If you just looked at what I was drinking, you'd probably guess I was drinking a Cosmo or something. Mm-hmm. But what I love about it is the owner told me that because heirlooms, obviously, they come in so many different colors, if later in the harvest they get a bunch of green tomatoes or yellow tomatoes, the drink will change color. So it kind of just depends on what time you're there during the season.
Were there any beer pairings that you would recommend for heirloom tomatoes? As the beer expert that you are...
Oh, geez, I feel like you're putting me on the spot with that one. Beer expert at all. I mean, I would say when these two seasons collide, you have to take advantage of it, and that would be any fresh hop beer.
Mm.
That started last week, I believe, and it'll just keep getting stronger and stronger here as the weeks pick up as we go into September, kind of wrapping things up at the end of September, early October. But one of my favorite pairings, longtime pairings, specifically, would be Double Mountain and their heirloom tomato pie. it's kind of the OG of all of the area's heirloom dishes. They were the first that we knew of to start putting heirloom tomatoes on their pizzas, just to highlight the fruit and the seasonality of the dish. And when they're fresh hot beers, there's Killer Green, there's Killer Red. I think they do a couple others, but those are the two they're really well known for fresh hops. You really can't beat that pairing, like these two just in your face fresh flavors.
God, that sounds amazing. I should have eaten before I got this interview. Oh my gosh. Big thanks to this week's guest, Andy Pruett, and thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, goodbye.